Well, we welcome you back tonight, and it's good to see you here. This is a special service. Let me say welcome. If you're our guest tonight, you have come for a service that happens once a year. We meet here every Sunday night studying through God's Word together. We're studying, as I mentioned in my prayer, the book of Revelation. We'll take that back up again next Sunday night. Encourage you to be here with us. But if you're our guest, you've happened to come on the night of our annual business meeting. Now, that sounds pretty mundane, but it's really not. It's a great chance to rehearse God's faithfulness. And if you're visiting, for you to get a glimpse of what this church is about. So I know you'll be encouraged as you see that, but we're glad you've come. You know, we have our annual business meeting for two reasons. One, because it's required of us by our church documents. It's something we've committed to before the government, before the Lord. So we're going to do it for that reason. But we also do it because it is a joy. It's a joy to look back and see what the Lord has done and to remind ourselves. You know, we all live day to day, and it's pretty easy to forget all that's transpired over the last year. And you're going to see that unfold. And it's really remarkable what the Lord has done through you this past year. So I know you'll be encouraged by that. Well, as I said, it is our annual business meeting. Several of the elders will be involved in that. And so we're going to begin tonight with Vikram Pimplekar, the newest of our elders, who's going to come and share some scripture with us, pray with us, and then we'll have an opportunity to see things unfold. So Vikram, come and lead us.
What a year this has been, 2021. The world we live in continued to recover from the virus as new variations were introduced. And even right now, there's an impending conflict situation over Ukraine. But as we were singing together, we serve a God who is the Ancient of Days. But in contrast to the challenges outside in the world, we get to reflect on what God has done in our life as a church through the events and highlights from last year. So tonight we are going to reflect on God's grace, His provision, His faithfulness to us as a church. As we begin our time together, my thoughts went to the passage in 1 Chronicles 29, just to give you a little bit of the context. David is about to pass away, die, and he wants to build the temple, but the Lord tells him, no, it is his son that will build the temple. And so he offers offerings for the temple to be built. And so do the people as they see their leader involved in giving. And as he sees that, he offers this prayer to the Lord. I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Let's commit our time of reflection to him. Join me as I pray. Lord, your name is indeed glorious, and as we, as your people, praise your glorious name. Lord, we come to you as your people, as thankful people. Our hearts are filled with gratitude towards you, gratitude for who you are, and gratitude for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, you are a great God and truly one who is greatly to be praised. Everything in the heavens and the earth, David reminds us, is yours. And everything that is in the heavens and earth declares your greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty. Lord, all the blessings that we experience and that we have come to us from your gracious hands. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our church. We thank you for the different ways in which you have put your grace and your faithfulness on display through the different ministries of our church, through the faithful teaching of your word, through the spiritual growth of the individuals within the church, through the increase of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the very practical outworking and application of your word, through many of us being involved in sharing the good news. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. Lord, you have not only worked in our life as a church, but us as individuals as well. Lord, you have elected us as your people. You have called us. You have regenerated us. You have given us the gift of faith and repentance. You've justified us. You have adopted us. You have declared us as sanctified, and you continue to work in our life to sanctify us, and one day we will be glorified. Lord, we are filled with thankfulness and gratitude to you. For now, Lord, we know that your work is still in progress, and that for now we see in a mirror dimly, as Paul says, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we will know fully, just as we also have been fully known. And so, Lord, as we come to you tonight, we acknowledge that tonight is not about us. It's not about the body of Christ here at Countryside, but it is truly about you. And so, Lord, as we look back and look forward, we remind ourselves that we are here to worship and to praise you. We entrust, Lord, our time to you now. May your name be lifted high, and we pray these things in the most precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's our joy tonight to look at a brief video that captures some of the events and highlights of the past year now.
Well, this evening is a great opportunity to really capture and sort of reflect on God's faithfulness through the year 2021. And it was certainly an interesting year, a surprising year, a challenging year. When I really capture the spirit of 2021 in terms of our church and its life and ministry, I think the two words that come to mind are rebuilding and growth. Rebuilding, first of all, just physically, because we had the ice storm, and you remember we had so much of the campus was damaged as a result of that, and so a lot of rebuilding had to take place. We purchased the new facility down in the cul-de-sac and needed to bring it up to date so we could use it effectively. And rebuilding spiritually from the effects of the last couple of years and all that that's meant, and the wear and tear and stress on the life of the church, not just our church, but the church generally. We've experienced physical growth as people have come and joined. They've found our church in the midst of the trouble and difficulty of these last 2 years and lockdowns and churches shut. They've come to Countryside and found a family here and appreciate that. So we've seen the number of people grow, but even more encouraging to me, and I think to the elders as well, is the spiritual growth that we've seen in our own lives and that we see in the lives of the people here who are part of our church. Well, one of the truths that we hold so dear and precious is God's sovereignty over all things. And boy, we experienced that firsthand this last year. You remember the ice storm that we all lived through. And what an amazing reminder that was, that there is a God and none of us are Him.
You know, it started with a forecast. I think we canceled one Sunday service in anticipation of it coming, which proved to be a wise decision. And then the worst of it hit. You know, one of the things I remember from that time was just the way our congregation came together to care for one another. There were some who had no power at all, some who had rolling power. Folks were sharing space with others, firewood, water, all the things that people needed. And it was just a joy to see the body of Christ respond in the midst of that trial, to see people step up and try to love and care well for one another. Another reality of that week was the impact to facilities. Obviously, a lot of homes and people were impacted, and the church was as well. I remember, I think it was on Tuesday of that week, that I got a call from Steve Armstrong, and he was saying that one of the staff had come across a pipe that was busted, so he was up at the church shutting down water in the chapel building. He was going to make a pass through the other buildings, and when he got to the children's building, he sent me a short clip of water rushing out of one of the doors into the parking lot, and you know, said we got an issue. And
we had three water breaks and a fire line break in the chapel, which flooded mostly the west side into the chapel itself. We also had the fellowship hall, which had one water line break and flooded that area. And then in the children's building, a water filter main broke and flooded most of the first floor.
Gymnasium floor was completely flooded. Efforts by Steve and I were not enough, so we started making calls and got a majority of the pastors and staff to come in and help contribute with their families and cleaning up some of the mess and getting the water cleared out from the gymnasium.
I remember getting all my kids and my wife together. We jumped in the car to drive up, just not knowing what we could do to help. And a number of other folks from our staff and families came, and we were mopping in the gym first, realized that was not gonna get the job done. And so finally got shop vacs, and Tom came and stopped at Home Depot and got a bunch of squeegees. And so together we worked to do the best we could to clean up what we could with the hope of saving things.
Of course, the biggest impact, in addition to just our church campus, was the fact that we had scheduled a conference, our annual conference, and we were so excited about the opportunity to talk about our glorious hope, and yet the Lord had other plans. Instead, we got a chance to reflect on our glorious present and the realities of God's faithfulness, even in the midst of trouble and difficulty. In 2003, when I agreed to come as the pastor of Countryside Bible Church, after I agreed and before I got here, a church purchased the property next to us on the cul-de-sac, Grace Community Church, and it was there for all of these years. And there were a couple of opportunities through the years to consider purchasing that facility. In fact, it went on the market a number of years ago, but the elders talked about it and the timing wasn't right, and frankly, the cost was too high. And so we waited on the Lord's timing.
I went back to the elder board and said, this is it, guys. This is our last chance if we ever want to consider this building. It's 20,000 feet. There's 4 acres there, and the price has dropped significantly. But I don't know exactly how we would use that. Is there anybody on the staff that has any thoughts that way? And at that time, Justin Turner and Brandon Ragsdale both got very excited.
And so when this became available and we began to look at the odd structure of this particular building, it really fit us as a college ministry.
It was the perfect opportunity. In God's providence, we had the resources to do that. You all agreed with the elders that this was a great opportunity for us to take. And so we were able to purchase the old Grace Community Church property.
The college ministry, Roots, was able to move in and start using a portion of that building in May and was greatly blessed by the additional space.
The middle school needed a little more work, as did some restrooms, so that became the project for the year.
And so they blew it up, they gutted it, they redid everything, they raised the ceiling. The vision and the plan and the work that was done all just really came together to give us a beautiful place for us to study and to worship together.
Well, over 2021, we have seen remarkable growth. I mean, you have to notice, we've seen a lot of new faces. I'm sure that if you've been at Countryside any time at all, you've seen a new group of people who have connected to our church family. But of course, more importantly than the physical growth and the number of people that have come to Countryside is the spiritual growth that's happening in all of our lives. We see it in the ministries as people get engaged in Sunday schools and in home fellowships, as they get involved in partners and ministries like that, where there are opportunities for life on life, iron sharpening iron, as people grow and as we grow together in the likeness of Jesus Christ.
The event last year was our fifth banquet, and it was a special banquet in the sense that it was celebrating completing 500 people through partners. Now, we had to delay it because of COVID, and so it became our partner's 600 banquet. We had a Western theme. We invited Northlake Bible Church to come and join us. And we also had Mike Fabares come and speak. We had a very unique thing happen at the banquet. and that is really a once-in-a-lifetime event. We were able to get Tom standing behind the pulpit in his cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And that was a rare sight indeed.
It had been a number of years since we had had a church picnic, and so one of the highlights of this year was resuming that at Bear Creek Park in Keller. Just an informal time of being together as the body, of getting to meet new people, to interact, and just enjoy the beauty of God's world together. One of the new opportunities for our congregation this past year was our Equipped seminars this past summer.
And as the name suggests, these seminars seek to equip the church in areas related to practical Christian living and discipleship. In June, we had Dr. Keith Palmer come, and he covered the topics of conflict resolution, anger, and bitterness. And we had an average attendance of around 160. In August, we had Dr. Stuart Scott come, and he covered the topics of fear, worry, and anxiety, depression, pride and humility, and biblical decision making. We had an average attendance of around 110.
When I think of last year, there's one event that was at the same time one of the saddest events and one of the most joyous and fulfilling. And that was finishing a 7-year journey through the book of Romans. My own life was forever changed as a result of that study. And my prayer and hope is the same is true for our countryside and for all of us. I think we all understand that one of the greatest challenges of the last couple of years hasn't been a virus. It's been the trend in our country on some major issues that are contrary to what the scriptures teach. And so the elders and I talked for some time about the importance of at some point addressing those things. And the time was right last summer, when we got to the summer of 2021, to look at those issues. I preached a series entitled Trending Versus Truth. We considered the transgender issue and the homosexuality issue. We looked at social justice and how the scriptures speak to those specific issues. I love the way Paul says in the scriptures, we have the mind of Christ. And so our goal as believers is not to have our own mind about anything, but really to try to embrace the mind of Christ. How does he think about these things? And that was really the goal of the series, Trending Versus Truth.
The Word Unleashed is another ministry that has seen some really exciting growth this year. The Word Unleashed began as a ministry focused on radio to get Tom's preaching ministry beyond the walls of Countryside. And it has since grown to include publishing and other equipping events.
This past year, we were able to release 3 different books. The first would be The God Who Hears, a book of pastoral prayers. The second would be Jesus' High View of Scripture, which is Tom's explanation of Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And thirdly, we released The Rescue Mission, which is a gospel tract or a booklet from 1 Timothy 1:15. What we've been able to do with that content in particular is we've been able to reach not only people here at Countryside, but we've been able to ship that material and give that material away to hundreds of people outside our church. For example, we had a booth at the G3 conference in Atlanta last September where we were able to give away 500 copies of Tom's book, Jesus' High View of Scripture.
One of the greatest blessings at Countryside is the leadership that God has raised through the years. That was true when I came here in 2003, and it has continued to be true through the years. I am so grateful for the life and ministry of Tom Beswick, Tom and his wife Cindy, who he was here as an elder when I came, and just this last August, he and Cindy moved to Oklahoma.
I always appreciated him, his wisdom, his legal perspective on things.
To have somebody with a biblical perspective and yet understand the laws of our land, it was always very helpful. But Tom always brought that other element, which he brought to his Sunday school class and everywhere he went, and that was his comedy relief.
Cindy is very shy, but she is very dedicated to her service life here at church. She was head of the women's Bible study for a number of years. She served on the women's leadership board, and just loves her church and her church family very, very much.
And we celebrate with them for the opportunity, but we will always be affected and impacted by their faithful ministry through all of those years.
We continue to be excited for the growth of missions involvement at Countryside, both seeking to equip new missionaries and to partner well with our current ones, and to see members of our church participating actively in short-term opportunities throughout the world.
We were invited to the Czech Republic as a ministry opportunity for the English camp that they hold every year. And so when we go, we teach English for one full week to children, and on a Friday, which is a special day, we're able to meet with the children and their family and their parents and spend time with them. And that building that relationships helps the families that are at that church to minister to them on an ongoing basis.
And another opportunity was to strengthen and support a ministry training pastors in Germany and other parts of Europe by providing a children and youth program for their conference that was celebrating 20 years of faithful ministry. One of the distinctives of our church is recognizing the biblical truth regarding creation. And it was our joy this year to have a Sunday focused on that, a Creation Sunday in partnership with the Institute for Creation Research.
What was so incredible is we had Dr. Galusa, Randy Galusa, he spoke at both of our services, talking more of the biblical perspective of why creation is so important. And then we had breakout sessions on our entire campus. And then we had, of course, our dinosaur tour. And I think we had over 1,200 people that walked through the auditorium in the afternoon to see all the dinosaurs on display. And it was just an incredible time.
So this year we had over 300 volunteers show up to help with VBS, which to me is completely overwhelming and faith-strengthening to me. The theme this year was the seven C's of history. And we used the Amazon jungle, the Amazon expedition, as a vehicle to kind of present that to the kids. Days 2, 3, and 4 just build up in the hearts of the kids and really us as we're participating in VBS, how sinful we are. We are sinful. We have disobeyed God. And the kids felt that. And as we went through day 4, they learned about the Tower of Babel, how mankind is prideful and we cannot fix ourselves. And we talked about the sinfulness of mankind. And then we said, tomorrow, which is Friday, Christ. And the kids erupted in a spontaneous shout of joy.
We're going to learn that the God who created all of the earth and all the universe, He came to save us from our sins. He died on the cross, and He will make all things new again one day. So come back tomorrow so we can learn. Yeah.
It was the highlight for me, and really a exclamation point on the whole week.
Of course, foundational to spiritual growth is following the commands of our Lord. And of course, that begins with baptism. You become a disciple, you are baptized. And it was our joy this past year to see many people baptized. In fact, we had so many that we had to have a couple of baptism services right together, in addition to the others through the year. And we even decided to move baptisms to a Sunday morning because so many people in our church family have never had the opportunity to see and hear the testimonies that are shared in baptism.
Children's Hunger Fund is an organization that comes alongside the local churches and it helps in delivering food, but more importantly, it helps in delivering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In October last year, we had the opportunity as a church to participate in a meal packing event that we hosted here at Countryside. We ended up packing more than 2,000 meal boxes, and which equated to about 48,000 meals. In the last 10 years, we have helped pack more than 400,000 meals for children that were distributed in the United States and throughout the world.
Along with many other special events and ministries resuming in full force this year, we enjoyed our annual fall ministries like the Countryside Fair and Thanksgatherings, and just had a great holiday season focusing on Christ as well.
Our
Christmas concerts every year is a way we bring together the biggest choir we have. I think we had 90 singers this year. Our orchestra gets expanded. We have college students that have come home and are part of it. I think we had 45 in the orchestra. Our oldest children's choir, I think we had 60 singers of kids grades 3 to 5. And as well as highlighting some of our featured soloists throughout the year, we bring them into the Christmas concert. And so it's just a way to highlight what our music ministry is to its fullest. For me, you're all I need.
The good news is, as wonderful as this last year was, the story of Countryside Bible Church isn't done. We're excited about what the Lord's going to do in the year that's before us. And of course, ultimately the goal is that all of us would continue to grow in the faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal of our Lord's church. That's the goal of Countryside Bible Church.
Well, what a wonderful reflection on just some of the many ways that the Lord has blessed us this past year. You join me as we pray and join our hearts together to thank Him. Lord, we continue to be amazed at the work You have done and continue to do here in this place at Countryside Bible Church. As a church, we simply want to say thank You for the many ways You have blessed us and continue to do Your work among us in 2021. Thank You, Lord, for the wonderful special events celebrated this past year that we just reflected on. Thank You for the spiritual benefits and growth that You brought about among us related to these events and opportunities that You presented. Lord, as Tom will elaborate in just a moment, we also thank You for how You continue to bless us in all the regular ongoing ministries of the church, in the faithful preaching of the Word from our pastor in this pulpit, in our times of weekly corporate worship, in the teaching and the discipleship and fellowship and serving ministries that take place every week among our children, our youth, our college students, and our adults, men and women. Lord, thank You for the work of salvation that You accomplished in those who came to trust You this past year. Thank You for the growth and sanctification that has been seen in our people over this past year through increased faith and obedience and following You. Thank You, Lord, for the spiritual gifts that You have given to Your people here and for empowering them by Your Spirit to exercise those gifts in reflecting our Savior for the edification of His church here. Lord, thank You for our pastoral staff, for our support staff, our elders, our deacons, our many ministry leaders, and the vast number of people who were actively involved in loving and serving the body of Christ here. Finally, Lord, we thank You for bringing many new people, many new faces into our fellowship this past year as You continue to grow Your church and Your people in this place. For these things and all that you have accomplished among us for our spiritual good and for your glory, we bless you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Now for your favorite part, the finance report. I want to first remind you that our fiscal year goes from October 1st through September. So what you're going to see is the first quarter report. And so we'll talk about the general fund to start with. Okay, there we go. In the general fund, the actual income for the first 3 months is $2.4 million, about $120,000 less than the projected budget. You got to be smart up here, too. All right, about $120,000 less than the projected budget of 2.5. Some of that shortfall I expect we'll see in the January numbers, as sometimes the numbers roll over. Actual expenditures, $1.3 million, and that's $78,000 less than what we budgeted, so that's good as well. The income bar on the right side there, it's much larger on the left with the money that came in. At this time of the year, that's a reflection of what happened in December. At the end of the fiscal year, those bars will be projected to be the same. That's a balanced budget. So we'll look at some of the cash balances. We're showing the fund balances at the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, 2021, and the end of the first quarter of December 31st, 2021. Our target reserve for the general fund is to keep it above $1 million. And so you can see that we're now at about $2.3 million, which is what happens after the month of December. And that will gradually come down until about $1 million at the end of this fiscal year. I want to say something about the debt reduction fund. That's a point in time number. It's what you designate to pay down the debt. And regularly we transfer that money into the bank to pay down the debt. And so each month it goes down to zero. So benevolence fund is as you can see it. I suspect Tom usually tells how much we spent on benevolence. I presume you're going to do that again, not this time. And then designated funds, there's a variety of special funds, special projects, capital replacement, things that are required for the church. And I should tell you that $889,000 is still available for future projects. We set that aside a couple years ago. A little bit about the debt history. I asked that we show the debt, and you can see that it's about $8.8 million. November of 17, after completing the worship center, we had a debt of $8.5 million, and I won't take you through all the steps, but we added $2.2 million when we purchased the property across the street. And we have paid down, that would come up to about $107 million. We have paid down almost $2 million during that time. I think that's really wonderful. And the elders want to accelerate that if we can to pay that debt down. So praise the Lord for that as well. And then I want to end up with showing you that there are a lot of gifted people that are behind the scenes working on our finances and doing a really good job with that. Gary Dunlap is the chairman. He's a volunteer. We have two staff members, Steve Armstrong and Cindy Lucas. Cindy Lucas is our accounting administrator. And then we have, I won't go through the rest of the names, but these are gifted men and women who understand finances and have experience in that area. And so we're in really good shape for that. And finally, on behalf of the elders, I want to thank you for your faithful and abundant giving. Each time we have an elder meeting, I get to give the financial report. And each time we're just kind of blown away with how generous people have been and how the Lord has provided. So on behalf of the elders, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And just know that our God continues to bless his church through his faithful people. And thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the amazing result of the giving that takes place in this church is, as you saw the numbers in the general fund, that's what allows us to keep these buildings open and these men able to feed their families in this on our staff and be able to minister in this church, which is a huge blessing. And then as you saw our benevolence fund is in a very good situation right now, and we've been able as elders to be able to use that money very generously with those in our congregation that have needs, and we don't have to come to you because you've already come to us, and we have those funds available, and we use them often. Matter of fact, one of those projects at Vikram led where we were giving food away, a lot of that money comes out of our benevolence fund as well. So it's an amazing thing to be a part of a church that people are so willing and to give. And the one who's responsible for that is our Lord. And let's go to him in prayer now. Father, we are amazed and in awe of the work you do in this church. And Father, just as in our salvation, there's nothing that we do to earn or make ourselves worthy of being reconciled to you, but it's all through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he did on the cross and the righteous life he lived here on earth that made us able to be regenerated. And Father, in the same way, as we come to this church to be a part of the body of Christ, to be together as brothers and sisters to worship you and to serve, Lord, we acknowledge that all of our provision, every gift comes from above. That, Lord, even the ability that we have to earn wealth comes from you, and that everything and the earth is yours and all that it contains. And Father, we are your people who you have blessed, and so thankful for the privilege to come to be able to give because of what you have provided for us. Lord, it's a blessing to be a part of this church. It's a blessing to be able to see from year to year the growth that you've given this church in ministry, the reach that you've given us with the gospel, not just to our people here, but to our community, and then through our missionaries throughout the world. And Father, this is all a result of the provision that you make through your giving that we're so thankful for and what we celebrate this evening. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we pray, Father, for your continued blessing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, men. You folks have already heard too much from me, but it is my joy to give you a little update and some snapshots. We are encouraged about what the Lord has done, and it's what He's done. We don't talk about some things a lot, but on our annual business meeting, we want to give you a glimpse of what the Lord is doing around here, and so it's my joy to share that with you. I want to start with really a key issue, and that is the leadership God has raised up. And I'm reminded out in the lobby, there are on the wall out there several things. There, of course, is a high view of God, high view of Scripture. But in the middle is this passage from Ephesians 4. It says, "And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastor teachers." Those are those who minister in a local church. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Christ gave gifted men to His church so that the gifted men could equip the saints so that the saints could carry out the work of ministry." That's the way the church is supposed to work. And what you're going to see is that's exactly how the church has worked because of what the Lord has done. So I want to start then with highlighting the leadership that God has raised up here at our church. First of all, our elders, there are 11 elders, and I'm not going to walk through all of them by name. I know many of you sit in their Sunday school classes and other venues where you benefit from their ministry. If you're newer to our church, all of this will be on the website after the service, and I encourage you to familiarize yourself with these leaders. You know, in the New Testament era, in the Church of Philippians, for example, in the early verses of Philippians, Paul writes to a church of about 70 people. And at that time, and in that church, there were the people of the church, but there were two groups of leaders. There were elders and there were deacons. And these are the elders in our church. And some of us have the opportunity to serve on the pastoral staff as well. We have seven pastors. A number of us are elders and others who will someday move into that role, Lord willing, if you affirm that over time. But this is the pastoral staff that we have, and I'm grateful for their ministry, as I know many of you are as well. These are our deacons. There are 16 deacons who serve and oversee. To be a deacon in our church, you oversee a ministry, a service ministry, and all of these men do that, and we're grateful for their leadership. And in an ongoing way, again, you can familiarize yourself with them if you don't know them and haven't had the chance to meet them yet. You can go back and check this out and make sure you know them. This past year, there were some leadership changes. You heard in the video the reminder of the fact that Tom Beswick has deserted us for Oklahoma. No, he hasn't deserted us. We're happy for him and his wife, for Cindy, but we certainly miss them. They have been a treasure to our church, and we will forever be in their debt because of the investment that they made here. We also added some leadership. You saw Vikram earlier. You've heard him preach. Many of you in 128, you appreciate his ministry and Esther's week in and week out. He's a new elder as of this last year, and two new deacons, Steve Armstrong, who oversees our administration, and Chip Bingham, who's so heavily involved in our children's ministries. And many of you, if you have children, you know Chip and you know Billy Ruth, and you have benefited from their ministry here. A couple of staff additions this last year, Jordan Dees, operations specialist, which is a little vague, but basically that means he does everything. No, he is responsible to work under Steve and along with Sonny Flores with facilities and kind of helping manage all the workload that's involved in their responsibilities. Cheryl Gephardt is an administrative assistant, works with Jonathan Anderson, and Noah Pleck in the AVL production assistant role. Moving on to sort of the heart of what goes on here is our corporate worship. And here is our average weekly in-person attendance through this past fiscal year. You can see with COVID, we took a little dip down because of people not being able to join us for various reasons. But we are now, and this number doesn't really reflect the end of the year as of these last few months. We are really back to pre-pandemic levels, and there are a few of our folks who still haven't been able to come back for health reasons and other things. So I think in God's goodness, we've actually grown beyond where we were before the pandemic. In addition to that, and these are numbers that have been provided to me here. This is a calculation of online viewership, and you can see the math there at the bottom of the slide. Peak devices, that is the peak number of devices connected for the entire service, times 2.7 people per household, which is the average. And that gives you somewhat of an average. You can see that it's higher when people can't attend, and when they're able to, that number drops. But it's still averaging, as you can see, above 1,000 people who are joining us online each week. Here are the live stream participants. There are, on Sunday morning, this past year, there were 37,000 total views, 708 devices connected weekly on average, 1,000 weekly live stream viewers, and about 28,000 hours streamed. You can see also, they tell me this is how people are connecting. You can see that mobile is big, but desktop is still a big part of that as well in terms of how people are joining. And believe it or not, this reaches around the world. I have no idea, you know, who these folks are who are joining our services, but you can see all over our own country, and then in various places around the world, folks are joining and worshiping with us. And you know, obviously, we hope that they have been able to connect to a good church in their area. If there is one, that would be our first priority. But I hope they're encouraged by by joining with us as well. As far as what we studied this last year, you're familiar with this, but this is the exciting part for me. We finished up Romans, chapters 14 to 16, the summer series I mentioned, Trending Versus Truth, started 1 John, and through the end of the year, made it through chapter 2, verse 6. I am racing along, and so we're three verses today. I mean, hey. As far as special messages on Sunday mornings, we dealt with Jesus' baptism of repentance, Jesus' last words around Easter time, the resurrection, desperate for forgiveness from Psalm 130, which I love that passage, praise from A to Z in Psalm 145, and then we also talked about the promise of Christmas in the Annunciation to Mary. And I put in parentheses there, this wasn't a message, but I loved those Sunday morning baptisms, a chance for everybody in our church to hear the testimonies of those who come to faith in Christ. By the way, coming up in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have another Sunday evening baptism, and there's some really great testimonies and folks who the Lord has changed their lives. We're excited to hear what the Lord's done there. So plan to be with us. On Sunday evenings, started Revelation and got through the first five chapters of Revelation. Again, speeding along. I just want you to note that. As far as the ministries of the church, again, these are just snapshots to give you an idea of what goes on, because most of us don't get around the entire campus on Sunday morning. In the nursery, and this is a shocking number, 373 children cared for weekly. That's across all of the ways that the nursery is used. 103 weekly nursery volunteers, that's Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday evening. 43 births, so that ministry is growing. And here's just a little trivia for you that they provided. Over this past year, I want to know who counted these. That's what I really want to know. But over this past year, 4,500 diapers changed. Wow. That's very frightening. 4,600 socks washed and sorted. Now, the reason that's a number is, first of all, in the youngest classes, the volunteers wear socks. But whenever the kids use all the climbing equipment over in the children's building, they wear socks, and those all have to be dealt with and washed. And so there you go, 4,500 socks washed and sorted. And this is a really astounding number, 231,000 goldfish crackers served. So your kids are well provided for. Our special needs ministry is a ministry that obviously is near and dear to the heart of our Lord and to ours as well. We're so grateful for this opportunity. There are 14 children involved in that on Sunday morning, 23 volunteers on a scheduled rotation. And we were able to return this past year to full capacity. Five of the children are participating in children's choir, attending Foundations Child Care on Wednesday evening. So just a great way for us to serve them and to serve their families. We're grateful for God's goodness in that. Children 3+, here you see kind of a snapshot of that. On average, 250 children in Sunday school, 223 in Awana on Sunday evenings, and 116 in children's choir on Wednesday evenings. So a lot of kids in this church, and I'm so grateful because that's the next generation of the Lord's church. And we appreciate, by the way, let me go back and just point out again the number of volunteers that are required. And if you serve in those ministries, thank you. And if you don't, make sure you express your gratitude and make sure you consider joining them. 49 on average on Sunday morning, 60 in Awana, and 8 involved in children's choir. As far as our students, you can see middle school, the average attendance is 82. In high school, cross culture, it's about 100. And then our Roots College ministry, about 60. Of course, that ebbs and flows. Some of our students are local, and some of them are away at school and come back at various times of the year. So that number kind of moves up and down based on that. Here are our life stage ministries for adults. You can see 128. You can see the total number of participants and then the average attendance at these events, our young marrieds. Foundations, our young families, that ministry has actually, toward the end of the year, grown significantly beyond these numbers, and we're excited about what the Lord's doing. As I understand it, they've seen significant growth over the end of the year. Here are our maximum attendance for 2021 in our Sunday adult ministries. First of all, starting with the worship service, you can see our first and second services. You can see kind of the percentages. That's typical, about 40-60 in terms of the percentage of how they're laid out. So I guess what I'm saying is if you like a little more elbow room and you can come to either service, come to the first service. The worship center total, as I said, we're back up to, on average, to where we are, where we were. And these are maximum attendances, but we've seen that continue to be grow, and now it's about the average as of now. So we're back to that number. And then the maximum on Sunday evening was 603, average obviously less than that. Here's our 128 single adult ministry. 72 on average attend, 16 leaders. 66 attended the annual retreat, 55 attended the conference. It's a thriving ministry. Our partners, you heard about that earlier, but in 2021, 104 completed the partners program and 20 leaders were trained. Since the inception, almost 700 have completed the one-on-one discipleship program that we use here. It's in its seventh full year. We're grateful for the ministry that Terry and Denise Tyler have, and Paul and Laurie McCullum have added as ministry leaders, assistant ministry leaders in that ministry as well. So we're grateful for how the Lord continues to use that. Our home fellowships is another way that people can get together life on life. And you can see kind of what's been studied over the last several years. In 21-22, the studies have a choice of either 1 Peter, going through it verse by verse, or sermon application. That is, taking the messages I preach on Sunday and working out through the application of that. A number of groups have chosen those different approaches. You can see the enrollment is 406, 20 different groups in 14 communities across the Metroplex, and two languages, in English and Spanish. So we're grateful for those folks in those ministries. Men of the Word continues, and I know many of you men have benefited from this, Saturday morning discipleship, two Saturday mornings a month in the fall and spring. They studied loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and about 75 men on average came out to be a part of that on Saturday mornings early. And of course, in addition to that, we've enjoyed the men's breakfasts, one coming up, obviously, a men's night out last summer, and some great speakers who've opened the Word of God to us. And I did a seminar for Men of the Word on how to study and really lay out and teach a passage, the basic core issues. Also, our women's ministry, You have a couple of points of focus. This doesn't encompass everything they do, obviously, but just a couple of points of focus. The Titus 2 Bible study, once a month lessons on Wednesday in the chapel, 21 small groups that meet in homes throughout the area, and they've been studying Faithful God by Sinclair Ferguson along with some Psalms, and 300 of the ladies have registered. Of course, others join via online or watch it after the fact, and there have been several great women's events this last year, culminating with the Christmas banquet where over 400 women in our church and guests they invited who were friends and neighbors and others who they wanted to allow them to hear the gospel message came and made that a wonderful event. I mentioned just a couple of weeks ago the Master's Seminary distance location. It's an MDiv, a Master of Divinity four-year program here on site. Classes are held via recorded sessions, some on-site classes, as well as two-way live from Los Angeles. And we have several cohorts in place. We've already had several graduates. And we had one graduate in 2021. 13 students are currently in the program moving toward graduation, a couple of them coming up in the near future. So we're grateful for the impact that the Lord's allowed us to have in the lives of these men preparing for ministry. And we'll see, you know, the opportunities to sort of help launch them, Lord willing, coming up. Daniel mentioned the counseling training. Many of you have already thoroughly enjoyed that. We're so grateful for Daniel and his day-to-day work, both doing counseling, but also training others in our church to do it. And basically, the training is ongoing. 1 to 2 years, 25 leaders in our church are currently being trained, and we are in process as a church to become an ACBC-approved training center. So we're excited about that. And the goal, of course, is to develop other gifted people to come alongside the elders and pastoral staff to help work in the lives of people and shepherd them. So that is ongoing. Some outreach things to mention to you. You heard a little earlier about the word Unleashed, a couple of the book things. I'm pretty excited about the last one on there, that over this last year, and I didn't have anything to do with this, some of our staff worked on this, but the messages from our church are on American Gospel TV and on Exposit the Word, where I think all, I don't know how many, 130 of my Romans messages or something are there. And so I love that because that's so much of my heart and soul now, having gone through that, but I'm grateful for that opportunity. A lot of local and global outreach goes on far beyond that. You know, just here in the area, basketball camps, the Children's Hunger Fund, you heard about all the way we've been involved with that, but what you need to understand is every one of those meals goes with the true gospel, and so it's a great way for us to reach out into our community. Grace Ministries, we have a chance to partner with them, and we have a clinic as well that some nurses and doctors in our church sponsor for those who are uninsured to serve them, and they do that on a regular basis, so that's a great blessing. Hope House, I shared with you in October how many children our church has seen adopted into Christian families, and we're grateful for that. And by the way, we pray that the Lord will protect his people in the Ukraine, but the beauty of that program is it's about those kids getting connected to Christian families. They're in that country and are going to be in that country regardless. So nothing is lost, but if God forbid, the politics of the country should change, those kids will still be in Christian families and be able to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. International Friends at Countryside, that diminished a little bit through COVID, as you might imagine. Folks were uncomfortable in some cases coming, but that has begun to grow back as well. We're excited about that. Jonathan mentioned the short-term missions trips, and VBS is a huge outreach. I had an opportunity this past year, and I think I mentioned it to you, but the European Bible Training Center, which is a Master's Academy training center, is led by Christian Andreessen, an old friend that I knew when he was in seminary at the Master's Seminary. He is now the director of that, and it is an amazing training center for pastors and church leaders across all of Europe. And it has a massive footprint, and it was such a joy to be with them. They just were able to come back and have their conference. We all had to be distanced and all that. They had several locations across the city where we were all spread out, but it was a great opportunity, and I loved being there with them last May. I spoke on unity in the church, the pastor's responsibility, his wife, his leadership of his children, and our responsibility to be faithful to the Word of God. Here are just a couple of other pictures. You can see one of the overflow locations there on the left, so everybody could be distanced. There were a number of those. I enjoyed staying with Christian in his home, and one of the highlights of that was having meals with the other speakers. You can see that picture there. And then, of course, translated into German. My German is not good. I had 2 years in college, but I don't have an ear for language, so I can read dead languages, but I can't speak them very well. So that was a great blessing to me. Of course, we're so grateful as a church for those that we are able to sponsor and see go around the world. We have 17 missionary families in 10 countries. You can see that they're listed there in a variety of places across the globe, from Fiji to South America to Asia, and two families in the Middle East. We don't list their names because of the sensitivity of where they are and how they're serving, but we're grateful for all of these folks who serve faithfully, and I know many of you pray for them, and I hope you will do that if you don't, that you'll commit to pray for them and their ministry. Remember, out here in our church, out in the corner over here, there's a display of our missionaries, so you can see that and choose one, pray for them as a family. I know that'd be a great blessing to them. As far as our campus, just a couple of things to mention to you. As far as our facilities improvements, we added some additional offices to the chapel building. We replaced some, always having to replace our HVAC units. I forget how many of them there are on this campus, but there are a bunch of units. And of course, they're always in various states of being replaced. We replaced the electrical panel feed wires because there was an issue probably from a lightning storm that occurred. We revamped our landscaping southwest of the worship center, replaced the back of house hall lighting here to LEDs, and did some other things as well. And just a special thanks, you can see there at the bottom, to our facilities and the custodial staff. They serve us ongoing, week in and week out, so we show up and enjoy the fruit of their labor, and you have a clean place to sit and restrooms and all of that. We're grateful for them. Also, there's a group of volunteers who come in weekly to clean the sanctuary. It's a huge room, obviously. A lot of things have to be picked up and cleaned, and they come in, and we're so grateful for them, as well as those who volunteer to keep up our landscape. We have folks that we pay to come cut the lawn, you know, kind of a cut, blow, and go crew, but the beauty that you see is because of some amazing volunteers in our church, and a special thank you to Tony Moorhead, and also to Dean Lattice, and Bart McKay, and others who serve so faithfully in those ways. A couple of just audiovisual improvements. Student Center, once we purchased that building, we updated the gear there, replaced some cabling. The middle school, we needed to make that work. Here in the Worship Center, we did some new wireless microphone systems and new laser projectors. You see the little, can you read that at the bottom? See, if you can read this, thank the new projectors. So there you go. It does make a huge difference. People don't have that sort of gray tone. You know, everybody isn't looking like in a Monet setting. It's a little more clarity. So we're grateful. Of course, one of the things that the Lord has done that we thank Him for is the privilege of partnering to plant a church. And Northlake Bible Church is a thriving church today. And this is just a snapshot. Again, numbers aren't the issue, but it gives you just an idea of what the Lord's done. The average weekly center attendance there is 275. And the average nursery attendance, got a young church, 47. 195 are members. They've already had 12 baptisms, and they have a thriving youth ministry, and they have 12 adult small groups, and they have $600,000 toward the new building. Of course, we have purchased land for them, and as soon as they're able to initiate that building, we want to give them that land right there in the center of their community. They have, by the way, begun to meet back in the school again. there in the center of their community. We're grateful for that. But this was during COVID. They had to meet over in Roanoke in the, you can see the Cinnamon Archery Center. And this is a snapshot of the service. I had the joy one Sunday of going over and preaching there and just seeing what the Lord's doing. Really an amazing thing. And we're grateful for Dusty Burris and his role there and for the men God is raising up. We hope in the near future to serve as elders there with him. And just so you know, that church plan has been self-supporting since day one. God has met their needs financially. We helped them, obviously, with some things to get started, some equipment and other things they needed. But as far as their day-to-day expenses, they have been self-supporting since day one. And Lord willing, within the next year, we can see the possibility that they'll have the three elders that we have said at that point they become fully self-sustaining in their own church. Right now, we are the elders of that church as well as here. But we hope within the year that the Lord will have raised up men who will be working with that church. As far as this coming year, there are a lot of things coming, but let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, and you've heard about this on Sunday mornings, our Countryside Conference, Our Glorious Hope, coming up February 18 and 19. You can pray with us. Pray with us that the Lord would work out all the details. Pray if it's His will that He would arrange the weather so we can actually have this conference. But we are very excited to have my friend H.B. Charles with us, Steve Lawson, Philip DeCourcy, and of course our own Rocky Wyatt. We're grateful to have these men coming and dealing with the theme that it's at the heart of our faith. We have a future. So I hope you'll be in prayer about that. Volunteer, sign up, plan to be a part of it. There are also some other events and conferences coming up this year that I'm very excited about. The first one comes in conjunction with our conference here. Before that conference, we're going to have an all-day seminar called Becoming Biblical Elders. It's sponsored by XL Ministries, the ministry that Rocky has started and runs. And there's going to be, I get to partner with that, and I'll be teaching. One of our elders, Brian, is going to be teaching. And we're going to talk about how to be a biblical elder. And there'll be some with us on site. And then in addition, it'll be streamed. And we're excited about the opportunity just to sort of unfold what biblical eldership looks like and how to be equipped and prepared to do that. There's some materials that Jonathan Anderson and Rocky Wyatt and others have been working on in conjunction with just the things we've had here at the church through the years. So we're excited about partnering with them to that end coming up in February. Also in June, we're going to have our first Faithful Stewards Conference, kind of a conference for pastors and church leaders, and I'm going to walk through expository preaching, kind of going through all the parts from exegesis to putting a lesson together and then looking at the big picture and the key elements and sort of bringing it all together. So anyway, I'm excited about that. That will be in June, and then we're hoping to hold our annual Mexico Pastors Conference in July, and I'm looking forward to being there this year to be a part of that. So those are just some things coming. In addition, some of you have already signed up for this, but we're really excited still about the Cities of Paul cruise coming up later this year. There is an optional Rome extension, September 2 to 5, and then the cruise itself is September 5 to 16, and we'll get to see sites that are just beautiful, and we'll get to see sites that are biblical. And I'm really excited about a couple of those in particular. Ephesus is one of my favorite places because so much unfolded there. That's where Paul was, planted the church, pastored there for almost 3 years, and then John, the apostle, spent the last years of his life in ministry there. Probably close to 30 years he spent in that area, including in Ephesus. So it's a real highlight, along with other, Athens and Rome. So anyway, I hope that those of you who've already signed up are excited about that. We are still planning to move forward, and if you haven't signed up yet, the surge, as they call it, is on the downward trend. So join us, plan to be with us if you're able to do that. So those are just a few things. Obviously, the faithful ministries of the church will continue. And Lord willing, we want to, we've already been talking about the fact this past year it made sense for us to really focus on some of those major events. There were so many of them, as you saw in the video. But what we want to do starting next year again is recapture in the video the daily ministry, weekly ministry that you all are involved in. And so you know that goes on week in and week out, and we do as well. And we are so amazed at that and so grateful for that. So that will continue throughout this year. And I just want to remind you sort of the big picture. What are we about as a church? You know, we talk about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and we think about that as something missionaries do. But that is not for missionaries. It is for missionaries, but it's for more than missionaries. That passage is describing what every church should be about. We are about making disciples for Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all that our Lord commanded us so that they in turn will what? Go and make disciples. And so really this church is about seeing this church reproduced in other places. That was the way it worked in the New Testament era. That's the way that it's supposed to work today. And so our mission as a church is to be here shepherding one another, loving one another, serving one another, so that we can in turn take and strengthen other churches that already exist, be a part of that if we can, and to see other churches planted where they will make disciples, baptize, teach them to observe all that Christ commanded us, and in turn plant other churches that will do the same thing. That's the mission of this church. And I'm so grateful for the elders' vision in that and for your endorsement of that and championing of that, because that in the end is why the Lord has left us here. And I love the promise at the end. I remind folks before our baptisms, almost every time we have a baptism service at the end of this, the Lord said, as you carry this mission out, and remember, it's not just making disciples, it's baptizing, and it's teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. In other words, it's what goes on in the life of the local church. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As we carry out the mission of Christ in this church, he is with us. He is in his church. That image in Revelation 1, walking among the lampstands, inspecting, praising, critiquing. That's what our Lord does in every church that belongs to him, including this one. And our prayer and desire is to be faithful to him so that if God will, someday we can hear well done. Not because we want to earn that, but because we want to express our love to him. So that is a little report, a little snapshot of what the Lord has done here over this last year and a couple of items as we look to the year ahead. We want to do one more thing before we're done, and that is we just want to say thank you. You know, it's my joy to work with the elders of this church week in and week out. And every year, the elders have determined that every year, one of the lay elders will serve as the chairman of our elder board. And there is a great deal of responsibility that comes with that role. You know, there's not a wimp on our elder board, you know, and trying to lead that group is like herding cats. And this year, that duty fell to our chairman, Rich Dewey. And I'm so grateful for his ministry through this year and for the leadership he provided. Obviously, a difficult year still in many ways. A lot of things that had to be decided. A lot of things had to be done. But getting us together, getting an agenda together, running the meeting and keeping us on task is a challenging thing. And beyond that, his spiritual concern for the people in our church, for many of you, and his continued ministry through his teaching gifts and so forth. We're grateful for Rich and for his ministry, and we just want to say thank you. Where are you, Rich? There you are. Come up here. Let's thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you,
Tom. Appreciate it.
There you go. Well, and lastly, it is my joy to introduce to you and to welcome the new chairman of our elder board starting tonight, and that's Milt Powell. Milt and Theresa have been such a joy to our church. Many of you know him, have benefited from his teaching ministry, and certainly from his love and shepherding ministry, he and Theresa both. And it's been a joy to have him here and as one of our elders, and look forward to working with you, Milt, this coming year as chairman. Thank you for your willingness to do that in the middle of a busy life. He's going to come now and close us in prayer. Let's welcome Milt as he comes.
I didn't know I would be herding cats, but anyway, I accept the role anyway. You know, I'm overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and amazement of what our great God has done and what he's doing and what he will continue to do in this church. My wife and I are so grateful and so glad to be a part of this church. This is a wonderful church. This is God's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ, and I'm glad to be a part of it. So let's thank him for what he has been doing and what he's doing. And for all of you, let's pray together. Our Father, I am indeed overwhelmed to be standing here this evening. And I'm only standing here because you rescued me from the domain of darkness, and you brought me into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And Father, we are so thankful for that grace that you have shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we were lost, we were without hope, and now we have a glorious hope of a future that's we cannot describe. And Father, we look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. But as long as we are here, we pray, Father, that we'll be faithful to the calling that you've given us. And Father, we thank you so much for this church, your church, and all of those who are part of it, and all of those who are ministry leaders in this church, and all of those who volunteer to serve so faithfully and so willingly and so tirelessly, which causes all that goes on here to take place. Father, we pray your continued grace and your continued blessing upon them. And Father, we thank you for the leadership of this church that you put in place, those whom you have charged to shepherd the church of God, which you purchased with your own blood, the blood of your own son. And Father, what a privilege and what an honor, well, what a joy that is to be able to do that. And we pray that your grace will continue to be upon us. And Father, we just thank you for your provisions for this church. You have provided abundantly through no matter what the circumstances are, because you are not affected by circumstances. You are not affected by anything. You are independent of everything. And so, Father, we thank you for your abundance of provisions that you continue to make to this church through your people. We thank you for the generosity of your people. And, Father, we just pray that you will continue to protect this church, that you will protect this church from one of our great enemies, and that is false teaching. And, Father, we pray that you would guard us. You cause us to guard ourselves. Even as Paul mentioned to the Ephesian elders, that we would guard our own lives, our own personal lives, that we would be looking after our own selves first and how we are living and how we are relating to you. And then you've also charged us to oversee your flock. So, Father, give us the grace, give us the wisdom, give us discernment, the discernment that we need to be able to do that in a manner that provides the needs for your people, and at the same time brings you great honor and great glory. And I'm along with the Apostle Paul when he said, who is adequate for this? Father, we are not adequate for this. So our sufficiency is in Christ. Our adequacy is in Christ. So Father, may we continue to nurture ourselves on your word so that we'll be able to teach others also. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for what's going on here. May it continue. May this church continue even until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Father, may you continue to raise up people. May you continue to raise up leadership in this church, that they will serve you faithfully, and that this church will be here until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and people will continue to be saved. People will continue to be equipped for ministry and for service to one another. So, Father, we just commend our time to you this evening. Thank you for all that you have done. And, Father, we pray that it will continue. May we continue to be faithful, to love you, to love one another, and to serve one another as you have called us to do. So we just commit ourselves to you with great thanksgiving. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.